all of you read the scriptures, but I want us to read these four scriptures again today before I say a few words. And I've asked Robert to read the first one. You might be thinking which one of you might like to read one of the next three scriptures while Robert is reading that first one from Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 16:13-17. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days, when you have gathered in produce from your threshing floor and your wine press. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, and your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your town. 7 days you shall keep the festival for the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your practice, in all your produce, and in all of your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. 3 times a year all your male shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you.
Can I have someone read the scripture from Revelation 7:9-17? Looks like Matt is ready to read that.
This is the New International Translation. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Thank you, Matt. Let's read John 7:28-39, which is kind of a focus of mine today, even though today is Palm Sunday. Is there anyone that would like to read that?
Then Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true, and you do not know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, "When the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple police to arrest him. "Jesus," they said, "I will be with you a little while longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will search for him who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go? We will not find him. Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will search for me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
I think the last scripture I will read, and it's a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And unlike the scripture that was just read, this is actually before the Passover when Jesus came. We know that. But the one that was read from John 7 is from the Festival of Booths. And so it was usually taking place in the fall. And the adult men that were Jewish were asked to come to Jerusalem for those two festivals. And Jesus at first told his disciples or his brothers, that he wasn't going to go. And then he secretly went to the Festival of Booths because he knew his time he wasn't ready yet. His time wasn't come. And that's why they tried to catch him and kill him there. That was just read, and they weren't able to do it. But this is a scripture from chapter 12, verse 12. And the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Now Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. You see, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. We call today Palm Sunday. I think everyone is aware of that. For the Jewish people, this was first day of the week of Passover. Today, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem riding on a lowly donkey. In fact, I was always amazed at that. I never liked to ride horses, and so this was not just a donkey. It wasn't a broke animal. In fact, it was a colt, probably only a year old or so. The thing had never been ridden, and yet Jesus rode this donkey into the town, into the city of Jerusalem. I'm just amazed by that feat itself, because I know I wouldn't be able to get on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden. So Jesus is honored and praised by many of the people, and they wave their palm branches, and they sing, Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is the name of the Lord! And then we know what happens next. Later that week, these chants of happiness and victory are a little bit fickle, aren't they? By Friday, these same open-handed, palm-waving chants of happiness were drowned out. Perhaps not by the same people. Probably not. But nonetheless, they were drowned out by the closed fist of a mob that said, "Crucify him. We want Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." Happiness is conditional. Joy isn't dependent on the conditions we find ourselves in. Joy is a state of being. I always think a lot about my mother and my brother John this time of year because they passed during the Easter season. My brother John just a few days before Easter, in fact. And I can remember a story that, a children's story that Tina Beagley would do. And she did these puppets. And I think a lot of you probably remember a lot of her puppet plays that she did. And one of them was with Congo the gorilla. And I'll never forget it. My brother John loved that story. He would laugh every time. And she did it several times, but he never got her tired of hearing that story that Tina would do with those puppets and the voice of Congo the gorilla asking, I'm not even sure who it was. I think it was, at that time, maybe it was Calvin Keeling that Congo was asking these questions of. And Calvin would say, we're supposed to spread joy. And Congo said, you mean that thing that the farmers pull behind their tractor to spread the... And that's where Congo shut off. Oop, not supposed to say that. You're talking about a manure spreader. And in those days, we had manure spreaders, and we still do. But one of the inside jokes that the dealers would say was, we guarantee our manure spreaders, but we never stand behind them. And so I just always loved that story, and John just really got a kick out of it because we often cleaned out his chicken house and cleaned it out by hand and put that chicken manure in the spreader and then took it out on the field and spread it. We are to be joy spreaders. And joy is not conditional. It doesn't depend on what your conditions are necessary to be joyful. But joy is a contagious thing. And so I think from these scriptures that I read, I feel like joy is something that we should always strive to achieve. And we don't always attain that goal of joy. But we should have it here in our heart always. Sometimes we can't always convey it, possibly, but it should always be there. Each of you have a palm frond in your hand today. And when we consider the scriptures, palms held an even greater distinction at another Jewish festival, the Feast of the Tabernacles, or tents, or booths, and that's the one that was read from John 7. All Jewish men were required to celebrate in person every year in Jerusalem to remember how God provided for Israel during the 40 years in the wilderness. During this feast, they came with leafy boughs and palms and lived in tents. And they remembered with joy how God provided for his people in the wilderness. He gave them manna and meat and water. He gave them the essentials. Unlike Passover in the spring, the Feast of Tabernacles occurred in the fall. During the Feast of Atonement and Tabernacle, the Israelites remembered their unfaithfulness and rebellion against God in the desert. I think Matt was relating to that last Sunday when he was talking about the manna. And how they said, oh, not manna again. And quail, oh. The people of Israel camped in Jerusalem every year to remember their exit from Egypt. They not only remembered their past failures and sin, but beyond that, they remembered all of God's wonderful and generous provision. Today, you were given a palm leaf, not only to remember Palm Sunday, but mostly to celebrate and enjoy our victory over sin and death through Christ today and every day. Here we are at the beginning of Holy Week, and today we remember that the entrance into the city. This Thursday, we will again witness our Lord instituting his Last Supper with his disciples, battling Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer, the betrayal of Judas. We will also witness Good Friday and Christ's suffering and passion on the cross. But remember why Christ does it all, to give each of us an eternal victory. And so we wave palms now, as St. John shared in his revelation vision of heaven. There all the saints will hold palm branches in their hands with white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb, crying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There are times when we may feel naked and alone in our own lives. We remember as we read this scripture that we are as brightly clothed as the saints in heaven because we are baptized and covered in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Adam and Eve were ashamed and naked after they sinned, grabbing for leafy fig leaves. Jesus was stripped naked by Roman soldiers and beaten for us. They mocked him with a purple robe and a crown of thorns. He was shamefully hung naked on a cross so that you and I would never face eternal darkness and shame. Remember the day that we are not naked and defeated, but victorious. That is why you were given a palm branch. This week I was reminded that spring is here at last. In fact, kind of the weeks coming up to this week, spring actually was Wednesday, I believe. But I noticed the first daffodils that were starting to poke through the little flowers in our front yard, just starting to poke through this week. And, of course, the pear trees that are now in bloom. Greenery and new flowers always symbolize rest and peace, beauty and tranquility for us. And a palm frond is the focal point on our altar today and in our hands. In the Song of Solomon, the palm tree is referred to as a symbol of strength and vigorous life and abundance. In a hot Mediterranean climate, the shade of a palm offered relief from the direct heat of the sun. Palms were also carved in the walls of Solomon's temple. That is why we hold palm branches in our hands. We are baptized into Jesus Christ and washed in his blood. Even though we may face sickness, disease, or death, despite it all, the victory is in Jesus. Our eternal victory is won by Jesus. And when I was a kid, I remember occasionally on a rainy or otherwise weather complicated Saturday afternoon when we couldn't be outside working like Dad usually had us doing, we would tune into ABC's Wide World of Sport, and I always remembered this intro that they had, and I'm going to have Annette play it now if she can, and you'll see it up on your screen, and maybe some of you will remember that.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Our lives get occasionally. This came from 1978, so that was Vasily Alexeyev, one of the strongest men in the world at that time, by the way, doing the clean and jerk. I don't know how many hundred pounds that was, but it was a lot. But our lives can occasionally be turned upside down, just like that skier going down the hill couldn't make that turn and wound up in the crowd, head over heels. We need to always remember who holds the ultimate victory. And that's Jesus Christ. We are baptized and given white clothes and washed by his blood, so we never lose heart. We are always his child, protected under his heavenly wings, and that is a promise. So celebrate the thrill of victory this day. And we know also that the agony of defeat never lasts. Be joy spreaders, spreading the unconditional joy that is yours through Christ. Because Sunday is a-coming. Sunday is a-coming. And with it, the joy and promise of the resurrection on Easter morning. Amen. I don't know whether there's anything that anyone else would like to add. I noticed a few of you were writing a few things down, but if anyone would like to do that now, I would certainly ask you to.